back to school, to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool. I got my lunch packed up, my boots tied tight. I hope I don't get in a fight. Oh, back to school, back to school.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I am Jamie J.J. Johnston, and I am joined by...
Mike the Birdman Dodd! Yeah! I'm excited.
Jesus.
I know.
More excited than usual.
I know, it's because
you
we're going...
You have some drinks today?
No, just water, actually. Well, I had a Dr. Pepper. Yeah, I'm excited because fall is getting close to being here. It means the kids are back in school with me and less little jerks in my backyard. I'm excited. What can I say?
I can just see you as that old man with a shotgun sitting on his porch, just rocking back and forth, being like, dang, kids, get off my lawn.
That's right. Keep walking, kid. Yeah, I'm honestly pretty excited. I mean, I'm very much like, there's a commercial for Staples where they have this mom and dad skipping through the store going, it's the most wonderful time of the year. That's me. I love back to school time. I genuinely do.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of annoying having a lot of teenagers around when you're shopping. But yeah, we'll just go past that. Anyway, so today's episode is going to be all about back to school. We could talk sort of high school, but mostly about guys going back to college, university, whatever. And our recommendations of what you should be playing, what ways to keep your video gaming up, but still, you know, doing your schoolwork. You know, you never want to fall behind on that stuff. Video games are great, but they'll always be there. Your schoolwork needs to come first.
Exactly, because you know what? You may have got a great K to D ratio in Call of Duty, but I assure you, your professor doesn't care.
I actually walked in once on one of my professors, and he's just like, you're like 10 minutes late. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I got this like 11-0 like KD ratio, and he's just like, wow, that's really good. And he's like, but I really don't give a shit, sit down.
My best one is I went to the Halo 3 launch back in 2007, and CBC Radio had interviewed me at the event. And I said, oh, yeah, I've got class tomorrow morning, but I'm calling in dead.
Calling in dead.
So my professor heard that, and he's like, so, Mike, you dead? crap at a cracker. I'm coming to class, aren't I? He's like, yes. I'm like,
I actually got a really funny story very similar to that. I was actually really sick at the launch of, which Halo was it? I think
Reach?
It was Halo. Yeah, I think it was Halo Reach. I was really sick. It was probably 3/4 away through my schooling, but I was really sick right when it came out, and I stayed home and played it, you know, for a couple hours or whatever, and then I left it on and I played what mode is that? Where it's just hordes and hordes of enemies and you just kept killing them. Firefight. So I had a ridiculous amount of kills in Firefight because I was playing Rocket Fight. So you just jump up in the air and you just get like 20 kills in one shot. So my professor, knowing that the game had come out and my roommate, you know, being my roommate, told him that I was probably just staying home playing Reach. So because I left it on all night when I was sleeping, it had like, I think, 20 hours of gameplay logged in with that ridiculous amount of kills because I was playing Firefight. Not against people, though. So he looked up my gamer profile and found all this information, and he was like flipping out on me, being like, you stayed home to play Halo. And I tried to explain it to him. It took a little while, but he came around.
Or so you were led to believe.
Yeah, I mean, my grade might have been affected. I don't know. I mean, I only played it for a couple hours, but
man, that sucks.
It was just coincidence, especially because I'm a huge Halo fan, so it was, like, just perfect timing, and I'm like, ah. Because the funny thing is if I wasn't sick, I probably would have stayed up all night playing it, but I still would have went to class. I don't know. Anyway, So August has gone by here, and there's been some decent games. Is there any games in August that you would recommend for people going back?
Well, it depends on how much time you have, and or if you can control your time.
I'm very bad at controlling my time when it comes to games versus schooling. So when I went to school, I actually didn't play much games until Reach came out. It was a very dark time for my gaming. But that's why we're doing this episode, to give you guys hints and tips.
And we're also going to recommend some stuff for you to buy, too, which I think will be kind of neat if you got a little bit of disposable income kicking around.
Use that OSAP money.
Exactly, the Ontario Student Stereo Fund, or however they call it, or whatever. Yeah, so one of the games that came out in August that I think it's a really... The game itself is fantastic. You can get the entire season, I think, for $20-25, if not less. Is Telltale Games The Walking Dead Season 2. You should probably play Season 1 as well. The main reason I recommend this game, each episode will take you about an hour to 2 hours to beat. And if you can tear yourself away from it, it's a nice, intense bit of gaming that's really coolly narrative-driven. It'll depress the hell out of you. In fact, I had people on Twitter telling me to stop playing because I've been so depressed recently. Actually, it was Spoonie's like, Mike, no, go back, abort, stop playing, you'll get bummed out. I'm like, I know, but I need to know what happens. But honestly, it's one of those games where I think it's perfect for that because you can play this across multiple different platforms, such as the PlayStation Vita. You can play it, I think you can play it on your phone even. It's available for PC, Mac, virtually any platform you can think of. And like I said, having 2 hour slices of intense drama, it's kind of nice because you're getting the full gaming experience without committing hours upon hours of time, like, say, a Mass Effect or a Skyrim or something like that.
As long as you can control yourself, because I know for myself, if I started into that, if they're 2 hour slices, I probably would do all of them all at once.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's really hard to tear yourself away because almost every episode ends with a really cool cliffhanger. There's also other games that are very similar to this. In fact, also made by Telltale. There's The Wolf Among Us, which is based upon the comic book
Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, yeah. It's really it's like an alternate take.
That was a joke. I didn't think it was going to be right.
No, you actually play Big B Wolf, and you're going to, it's hard to explain, but it's like if fantasy fairy tale characters were real, and if they had a gritty edge to them, like there's a murder involving, I think, Snow White or something. I've only really looked at trailers for it. I have the entire game because it was given to me by Telltale, but I haven't played it yet. But it's supposed to be really freaking good. Another one that's by them, it was their first big game, came out a couple years ago, was the Back to the Future game. And it's really well done. Once again, 5 episodes, 2 hour slices, give or take. And it's the unofficial, fourth movie, more or less, of the Back to the Future games. Really, really, really cool.
Getting a lot of good licenses, huh?
Yeah, they've got Walking Dead. They got the Borderlands pre-sequel coming out. They got Game of Thrones, I think, comes out sometime next year. Yeah, honestly, they brought back the point-and-click adventure genre, and they've really refined it past what the LucasArts guys did with Curse of Monkey Island and all that, and stuff like that, and even Maniac Mansion. In fact, I'd love to see someone reinvent the Maniac Mansion IP. I know there was a remake that came out a couple years ago, but that's a game you really can't play in slices because you don't want to lose your spot. That's why I like these Telltale games, because once you reach a certain point in the story, it says, okay, credits, go home. We'll be here tomorrow, so to speak.
Well, the only games that I can think of that came out in August, like, there's a whole bunch of PS Vita and, well, mostly Vita games that would be pretty good for going back to school. So if you like the Disgaea, Phantom Breaker, Sword Art Online, Blaze Blue for 3DS, there's a bunch of handheld games. And a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about is probably going to be handheld, because it's great to pick up and go, take to a class, play when you're on breaks, not during the class, which we used to do.
Yeah, they tend to get mad at you.
Well, it's funny. My professor's, because it was at a video game design and development course, on every break that we had, we'd all pull out our 3DS and we would have a match against each other in Mario Kart. And our teachers just loved it. They were like, I can't believe you guys will actually just do that every friggin' break. Because they expected us, you know, go take a piss, go
grab,
you know,
food,
grab
or something.
Food or anything like that. But no, we were just either dedicated during class to making games or playing games on our breaks to keep our sanity. But there's two games from August that I think are really good for back to school. Diablo 3, the Ultimate Evil Edition, came out for PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. The game Diablo has always been a game where you can just kind of pick it up, play it for a little bit. It's dungeon crawly. You kill lots of monsters. You can play for an hour and just set it down and be satisfied. Or you can play for 2 hours and still be satisfied. But you don't get sucked into the point where you're like, you know what, I gotta play this forever. Or I don't feel like I did anything. You just have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Second game, which I'm extremely excited. I'm going to be downloading it today. It's called Azure Striker Gunvolt for the 3DS. This game is made by... I completely forgot who they were. But they worked on Mega Man 9 and 10, I believe, for Capcom. And this game is basically like a Mega Man game built by people that have made a Mega Man game, but it's a completely different like franchise that they've started up. And to the reason I know that it's going to be good is because Keiji Unafune, who is the creator of Mega Man, actually got behind them and they made a another game that is like put both together. It's called Mighty Gunvolt. So Mighty Number 9 is coming out soon, and this game is basically like a Mega Man style game with the old 8-bit graphics, but it uses Azure Striker's main character, and you can also use Mighty Number 9 from Mighty Number 9, as well as one third character from one of their other games, and it's basically like a classic Mega Man game with the 6 or 8 bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that one for free if you buy Azure Striker Gun. You get two games for $15.99, and they're both very close to Mega Man style, which mind explode. So you can just download that on the eShop. You get Mighty Gunvolt free until 11/28. What's that? Like November 28th?
Yeah,
November 28th. So, if you pick that up anytime from now until then, you get both games. They are out now, so you can play it right away. That being said, maybe we should say some hardware stuff before we get into September's games. You've been talking about the PS Vita a lot.
Yeah, the Vita is one of those systems. I started to give it a lot more love. I was actually watching a video by, I think it was Alpha Omega Sin a couple of weeks ago. And he was talking how much he loves his Vita. And I kind of decided, you know what? I'm going to give my Vita another whirl. And one of the games, there are two games I love on it. And specifically, they're the same game, but by different companies, more or less. One is called Pinball FX2, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's pinball. But there are two tables on it that I'm absolutely in love with. And you can you get tables defaultly when you buy the game. You get like 3 or 4 different ones, but you can
say DLC tables.
Yes, but they are worth it. The ones that I downloaded is the Terminator 2 one, the one that was out in the arcades in 1992 with the shotgun handle, which is pretty friggin' amazing. And there was the Star Trek The Next Generation table, which I think came out in early 90s. And it has all the digitized voice from the show, all the graphics that would appear in the LCD screen or whatever at the top of the machine. Those are all represented in game. Plus, you can zoom in and look at the table and all that. It's a lot of fun. I was actually surprised how much fun I actually have playing this. It's making me a better pinball player in general. The other one I wanted to recommend is Zen Pinball. Exact same idea. You can download individual tables or sets. I downloaded the Marvel tables. My favorite one is probably Civil War and Guardians of the Galaxy. They're fun tables. They're quirky. They talk. The one for Civil War, you can choose to fight for pro registration with Iron Man. You can fight against registration with Captain America. Certain heroes and villains will join you. It's really cool. They also have a new Walking Dead table, which just came out, I think, about a week or two ago. It's really fun. It's really small, but it's really fun. And it's based upon the Walking Dead Telltale games.
I've always enjoyed pinball in a physical sense. Like, I don't usually like it in a video game. It's the same as pool for me.
See, it's weird because it's... I don't know. There's something about having these titles portable. It's a good way to kill 5 or 10 minutes. Like, what I... Like, if I were in school, for example, or if I was, you know, if I had time to kill, pulling out my Vita, playing 10 minutes of pinball is a nice way to kill time while I'm waiting for the next kind of lecture to start, or if I'm walking back to the dorms and I want something to do. There's also a really nice battery pack available for this thing. I haven't had a chance to review it yet, hopefully in just a couple weeks here. I'm actually just getting the name of it right now. There was, what the hell was it called? Just give me a sec. It's the Nyko Power Grip, and it makes the Vita feel like a PlayStation controller, which means you actually have triggers, and it's also a battery pack as well. That's pretty slick. It doesn't fit in your pocket as easy, but then again, not like the Vita was meant to be a pocket system to begin with, unlike
the 3DS. I think it was supposed to go into, either its own little portable... container, or just throw it in a backpack, not your pocket.
Yeah, because
gaming is not really pocket friendly anymore.
I would argue the 3DS, at least it's tough enough, but not the 3DS XL.
Yeah, which got the XL. It's just so much bigger.
Yeah,
nice. Isn't there a new 3DS coming out?
Yes, not in North America. There is a hardware revision coming out in Japan sometime in the next little while, which is the 3DS LL or something.
But what's different about it? I didn't understand when I got that email.
So what's new about the new 3DS? It has a second circle pad, but it's more like the C-stick on a GameCube controller. It has the Akimbo, or whatever the hell it is, that near field reader for those little figures that are coming out next year, or this year, rather. It also has, it switches from SD to micro SD, better battery. The 3D effect works from any angle now because it tracks your head. And it has an enhanced processor for its exclusive Xenoblade title that comes out with it. So it is pretty cool. However, speaking of the 3DS, since we're not getting that this calendar year, Nintendo's already said that, there is a new Smash Brothers themed one coming out, and I think North America's getting it. If not, there's your next game for class or school. Smash Brothers. If there's anything that will unite nerds, it's Smash Brothers. And just the ability, because Smash Brothers matches never take more than 5 minutes anyway, or how we played it, it was 5 stock, that's it.
See, if we had this out rather than Mario Kart, that's what we would have played every single time in between a fucking lecture. Yeah, so that comes out October 3rd, though, right?
Yeah, so...
We're about a month away on that one.
So just in time for reading week.
Excitement! Yay! Because that game's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I hopefully should get my copy in the next couple of weeks, because Nintendo tends to give us titles early. So I'm hoping they'll give us physical instead of download code for this one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other titles I would recommend on the handheld. Oh, this one I think goes very, very well with school and walking around. Once again, something that all nerds of a feather will have anyway. Pokemon. I mean, it depends. I mean, if you're a hardcore trainer and you're one of those people that grinds to have your Pokemon to ridiculous levels, you may scare away the casual Pokemon player, but you can still have a lot of fun with this. And it's one of those games because we're all at that age. We're all Gen Y or Gen Xers, whatever. Either way, you're in school. And it's one of those games. We're playing Pokemon. It's one of those games you can just pick up and put down. It's hard to put down, but it's infinitely competitive. Because if you don't have anyone to play with local, the online for that game works wonderful. And it's kind of a neat way to make friends. I know at my old school, Niagara College, there's actually a Pokemon training league there. And they meet up, they trade, they breed their different Pokemons back and forth. And it's a huge social event. So you might be surprised if you walk in the class with your 3DS and say, hey, you got like a shiny Pikachu you want to trade or something? So.
And if you're not a fan of actually training Pokemon, on October 24th, Pokemon Art Academy is coming out. So you can do some Pokemon art, which is the coolest thing ever. Okay, I have the mind of a 6-year-old.
I was going to say, anyway. Yeah.
So into September here, came out September 2nd, The Sims 4. The Sims games are always really good for, you know, pick it up and go. Although it's only on Windows and Mac, so if you have a laptop for your classes, you can use it there, you know, check in on your Sim in between courses. If not, when you get home, you know, you have an hour or two, you can play your Sims. I know a lot of people enjoy that game. I enjoyed it back when it was like Sims 2, but it's not really my kind of game anymore.
It's one of those games where I always like how the system requirements are always really, really, really low. Like anybody can run these things. I hear the new Sims is not getting the best reviews right now on Metacritic. Or, I myself have not played it. But I saw the EA press conference from Gamescom. It looks kind of fun, actually.
Well, as long as you can do what I used to do. Basically, you make a house, you have a guy walk into a room, and then you put a wall where the door was, and...
Watch them die.
Watch them die, yes.
You're a sick, sick little man.
Or you get a guy that can't cook at all.
And sets the house on fire?
Sets the house on fire, remove the outside door with a wall, and just watch the chaos ensue.
I've seen some really glitchy things where people have eaten babies and other really bizarre... Yeah, I've seen some really weird glitches for that game. I've also seen people have ghosts. I've had people randomly drop dead of like brain aneurysms and stuff like that, so that's fun.
The Sims 4, baby eating.
It's pretty friggin' out there, I'll definitely say that.
The next game here that I've got, we can't not have this in this episode. Destiny comes out on September 9th for the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. And everybody's going to be playing it. If they're into any genre like RPG, shooter, etc. If you're not into that, well, then you're probably not playing it, but...
See, I'm not so interested in this, because I hear... Well, your impressions from the beta didn't exactly sell me on it.
No, I'm still, like, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to play it. And if I'm not hooked within the first 24 hours, I'm going to probably set it down and be upset. Because... Everybody has this so hyped up. When I played the beta, I was like, this is good, but it's not as crazy awesome as their hype train is. Like, the hype train is basically like, this is the next best game in the world. I've played many games that were better than that beta this year, so... I don't know. I'm still not sold on it. But and that's hard for me to say as, like, a Halo and Bungie fanboy. It is very much like Halo, but... Titanfall is way better than that beta was.
Yeah, and
it's so unique and new. Everything that they have in this is new and unique to Bungie, but not to other games.
And I kind of think that's where we're going to bring the conversation now, is moving it out from being on campus to being back in your dorm room, your lair, the house you're renting, whatever. This is where gaming gets a lot more easy and a lot easier to get sucked into. Which is both a good thing and a bad thing. And you did mention Titanfall. Titanfall is going to be one of those games I was going to recommend for people to pick up, especially if you have an Xbox One. I think
if you have an Xbox One and don't have Titanfall yet, you really need to go get it.
I'd like to know what you've been playing on your Xbox One if you're not playing Titanfall.
Please let us know at This Week in Geek and or on our Facebook page, because I literally have... I think I only have that game for my Xbox One.
Oh, you got Forza, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I got Forza, and I got, like, Call of Duty and stuff, but I've never actually played them.
Jeez,
I've only ever played Titan. I think Forza is actually still in its plastic wrap.
Oh, jeez. The main reason I like Titanfall is it's pick up and play. The fact that it is multiplayer only is both a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is it's multiplayer. You're always playing with someone, always against a live human opponent. The bad thing is you're always playing against a live human opponent. But it's a fun game. Basically, the best way to describe Titanfall, it's Call of Duty with mechs and parkour. But it's still a lot of fun, and now is pretty much about the best time to get into it. They've released the 6-game update, just came out the other day, I think yesterday, and there's 2 DLC, 2 out of the 3 DLC packs have been released, so now there's 9 or 6 new maps available in the game. I think there's a grand total of like 16 different maps or more, something like that. And it's still fun. I mean, I play this game for at least an hour or two every day. I'm just cresting into Generation 9 right now as a pilot, and I don't know, just it's fun, and it's not hard to walk away from. Like, if you have a good match or two, okay, that's good. I'm gonna walk now, and that's why I like
game
it.
Game update. I think I have to download that right now, or right after this episode.
Yeah, please.
And if you're not a fan of, say, shooters or RPG styles, NHL 15 is also coming out on September 9th, so it's pretty much the exact polar opposite scale. So if you're into NHL, NHL games are always good for the people that enjoy that.
Or Madden.
When's Madden coming out, though?
I think it's already out.
Is it? I know
it's football season, so yeah, it's...
There's also, like, NBA is coming out in October, FIFA is coming out the 23rd, so whatever your sport, you know, preferences.
One game I recommend is WWE 2K15, it's not out yet, comes out at the end of October. It looks amazing. Like, I saw the screenshots in the entrance video for Randy Orton and Hulk Hogan. It looks like they just shot an episode of Raw, and that's how good it looks. It looks almost photorealistic at times. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to kicking ass as Daniel Bryan and the Wyatt family in this, like, unbelievably so. I actually went out and pre-ordered the special edition in case 2K Games doesn't send it to me. I'm so hype for this game, like, ridiculous amount of hype. And that's one of those things, me and my friends, when we were back, early on, living on our own, we used to sit around and play the N64 WrestleMania games or the PS1 era one games and just screw around with it for hours upon hours. I think my favorite match is we invented a character that looked like Conan O'Brien, and a 400-pound fat woman we called the Dominatrix, just beating the crap out of each other. And it was so much fun. And I love the creative wrestler modes because...
I think the creative wrestler modes have always been the most entertaining part of all of the wrestling games.
Well, yeah.
You always end up making the most ridiculous thing ever. Even if you don't play wrestling games like me, anytime I've been asked to play one with someone, always go in there and just make something ridiculous.
It's also one of those things where if you really want to get involved with your friends, I used to be friends with these guys. Well, I still am friends, but he used to take wrestling super serious, and he had a wrestling league we'd run on Facebook, and he'd play the results out in the video game. So he'd ask us what moves do we want? Do we want to be a heel or a face? What's our entrance music? And he'd tweak the game's wrestlers to look like us. And it was so cool. So my character has the twig snap. I'm a heel for the most part. I say I'm the people's champion, but I'm a mercenary. I'll fight for whoever can pay my bounty, typically. And it's fun. And the wrestling games, that's the sort of thing where you'll get together with a couple of your friends on a Friday night after a long, crappy week of class, sit down, have a couple of cold drinks, if you know what I'm saying, and just beat the crap out of each other. It's so much fun.
I think you went a little bit too much into that.
Well, no, like, it's one of those things. I really dig playing wrestling games with my friends, and mm-hmm. it's one of those things that I didn't expect it to be such a group experience. I haven't had that much fun since digging out a Mario Kart or a Mario Party. Unexpectedly fun.
Also, great games to play when you're in college, university, high school, whatever. Get your friends over and lose those friendships.
Yeah, Mario Party.
And Mario Party.
The game that will destroy friendships. And the cool thing about Mario Party is this fits very perfectly into the college mindset. GameCubes are cheap. Very cheap. Mario Parties for those systems are not hard to find at secondhand shops or even Jamie's shop that he runs.
Yeah, basically you're looking at, as of this episode, a Nintendo 64 will run you anywhere around $60 versus a GameCube being like $30. And a Mario Party for N64, you've got like $30, $40, and $60. Or the ones for GameCube are like $10, $15, and $15. So yeah, GameCube, great. You know, you don't lose much money, and you get to have all the friend-hating fun.
Yeah, and it's one of those systems that, once again, if you want a good party time, getting Mario Kart Double Dash.
Oh,
it's one of my favorite Mario Kart games.
I'm surprised they didn't like make the Double Dash feature a mode in any of the ones, the Mario Karts after it.
It's a cool concept. Yeah, I mean, I thoroughly enjoy it. Plus, it's the only Mario game where you could punch a baby.
That's all you need in gaming.
Yep, just baby punching. That's pre-ordered day one. Confirmed.
To design a game now that's just called Baby Puncher.
Baby Puncher, The Reckoning. But it's kind of cool because when you look back at gaming in college, when I went to Niagara, we had this store. It's not there anymore, which really sucks. It was called Entertainment Overload, and they had a crap ton of retro games. And because GameCube was really cheap to collect for, and the N64 prices hadn't reached the ludicrous numbers that they are now, it's really easy. In fact, I find a lot of game collectors start in college. Because you always have some form of disposable income from your OSAP or your student loan. You always find a way.
What's that? I don't eat this week?
Yeah, I can live with that. Why? Mario Party.
Better to buy games with it than booze. Because I had some friends that I was like, we would go and get, video games or rent a game or something versus those friends that are like, hey, I'm going to not eat this week so I can have a beer sandwich every day. They just pick up a case of beer per week.
See, that was always my reasoning during school is, you know, beer and partying is great. But at the end of the day, you leave it behind it in the toilet behind you. At least with a video game.
And in horrible memories or lack of memories that everyone else does have a memory of.
Or you wake up with a strangely transmittable disease.
Is that too descriptive? Does that sound like I have stories to tell?
I have done terrible, terrible things, and that's all I'm going to say. One system I think that should be getting more of a shake now, because finally we're getting killer apps for it, is the Nintendo Wii U. And the best game for it is Mario Kart 8. If you have the money, getting a Wii U now is not a bad investment, because we're going to have Smash Brothers for that within the next few months, I would imagine. Mario Kart 8 is the killer app right now, plus there's two new DLC packs coming out. You can get both of them for $12. That gives you 8 new characters and 16 new courses.
And don't forget, as of September 26th, we're going to be having Hyrule Warriors coming out.
Yep.
Which I really hope you get that, because I don't have a Wii U, so I'm going to have to come over and play that with you.
Yep.
It's multiplayer.
As far as I know, yeah, I should be getting it probably next week, actually. Yay, Nintendo.
Split screen or not.
I'm not sure.
If they are, it would be very much in the Dynasty Warrior standard, but I could see them not doing it and just ruining my day. But yeah, more games for Wii U that should be good, you know, might not suck.
Although I don't recommend playing any of the other Mario games co-op. You will hate each other at the end of it.
Oh, like,
New Super Mario U, yeah. Jumping on people? No, that's just to piss people off.
But, I mean, some people enjoy that, so...
Because they're evil! I'm just saying. another thing that you may want to consider, once again, for back-to-school gaming is... This one will show just how handy you could be, and I am in no way advocating piracy when I say this, so... Please legally own the games you intend to back up. End of disclaimer here. There's a little microcomputer. It's on a single board, and it's called the Raspberry Pi. If you go on the site's called lifehacker.com or io9.com, type in Raspberry Pi. They tell you how to turn this little microcomputer into a dedicated emulator machine that can do NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis, even arcade games. There actually is a guy selling a little arcade cabinets that have like a 17-inch monitor in them. They have a full Sanwa joystick with buttons layout that would work for either stuff like, say, Final Fight to Sunset Riders to Street Fighter and Killer Instinct and all that stuff. And it's a really cool idea, and it all runs off a standard SD card. You load your ROMs on, and it works great. So if you want to have that old-school retro experience, if you don't have the money, so to speak, to go back and get yourself, say, an N64 or a Super Nintendo, this isn't a bad way to do it either. Or playing old-school Atari or stuff like that. I think that's pretty badass, honestly.
If you do have a little bit more money, I can still save you a lot by coming to my store. There you go.
There you go.
Self-promotion, woo!
But, there's another thing that I would kind of recommend, too, is if you have friends that aren't shy, or this is a wonderful way to break the ice at parties.
Where are you going with this, Don?
Rock Band. Oh. We actually, me, my friends, Pierce, Jordan, Dave, Ashley, we all used to get together on Tuesday or Wednesday nights after class, and we used to have Rock Band nights in my room at the house that I rented. And we'd have the full drums, we'd have a bassist, a guitarist, we'd all swap out vocals. Or if one of us wanted to be really show-offy, we'd get the mic stand out, put the mic there while we played guitar or even drums. And it was just, it's an awesome experience because if you can get people that aren't shy, it's a great way to open up to each other. Plus, who doesn't love singing like stuff like Don't Stop Believing or AC/DC's Back in Black, stuff like that. It's a lot of fun, and I think the plastic instrument, the craze is gone, but finding these things is not difficult, especially if you look on Kijiji or Craigslist or even eBay, even your store, I think.
I don't carry them too often, mostly because they're clunky and they're not worth much. So like you said, you can get them for real cheap. I can usually find them for like $5 to $10 for the whole set of instruments.
If you ever come across a keyboard, let me know.
Keyboards I don't find too often because they weren't made too often, like as much as like...
They're rare.
Guitars. Yeah, I mean, you can easily find them on Kijiji. Just try to talk the person down because you got to remember that most of the people trying to get rid of them don't want to have that much space taken up in their house because you got like the drum kit and all that.
And they're the drum kit is notoriously hard to tear down. You basically have to leave it set up.
Well, it's not that bad, but
I've went through 3 drum kits during the course of my time owning all the Rock Band games. Plus, downloading these, if you have a 360 or PS3, even the Wii, the DLC is still pretty cheap. There's still a pretty good selection. The last song released was Don McLean's American Pie, and that was about 2 years ago. There is a new rhythm game coming based on Disney's thing. I think it's called Fantasia. And I think that comes out in a couple of weeks to a couple of months anyway. But still, the Rock Band and Guitar Hero games are a great, great fun experience. I recommend Rock Band over Guitar Hero.
If you like to have, well, it's not entirely rhythm, but, well, it is and it isn't. It's not like Guitar Hero kind of rhythm where you're using a different peripheral, but Theat Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call is coming out on September 16th. It's for the 3DS. It's basically Final Fantasy music, and you tap to certain beats. Cool little game. Isn't out just yet, but you know, if you have a 3DS and you like that kind of stuff, look into it. Yeah. Speaking of Square Enix, they actually have a back-to-school sale on right now. It lasts until... When is it? Actually, it might be over. Who knows? Sale lasts until 9/3/14.
That would be today.
Yeah, that'll be... Hopefully...
I'm posting this episode quick.
Yeah, if you have this episode...
Before midnight.
If you're listening to it right away, you probably have about 4 hours before midnight, maybe. Maybe even less, I don't know. But yeah, it's buy one game, 20% off. Buy two games, you get 30% off. Buy three or more games, 50% off everything. Yeah. So it's a pretty good sale, and you got like 3 or 4 hours left until it's over. I thought that was until...
Anyway, one thing that I wanted to bring up was another piece of hardware. As you guys know, I'm a big proponent for the Xbox One, and I've recently found out that you can use a USB keyboard with this thing wirelessly. I decided, you know what, I'm kind of curious, because I hate typing with the pad on that thing. It's just, I mean, yeah, I could use smart glasses. Yeah, I'm talking about the Xbox. I miss the chat. I wish the chat pad was available on the Xbox One. For whatever reason, it's not. But
I have always just plugged a keyboard in because it's so much easier. It works on the Xbox 360, the Xbox One. I think even the PS3s work on it.
I don't know.
Plug in a USB keyboard.
Yeah, I don't know whether I don't know whether the one keyboard I'm going to talk about is available on the Xbox or sorry on the PS4. But the one I use, it's called the Harmony Smart Keyboard. And it's got two receivers, so you can plug this into your Xbox 360 or your PS3 or whatever, or your Xbox One, and the hub connects it via Bluetooth or USB or whatever. And it's just, it's really cool. This thing is compatible with, like, over 200,000 devices. It actually has a mouse pad built into it. And the one, and the keyboard I have, it's meant for... media, so you can stream your movies. Like, you just press a button and it knows what settings to do, which is really kind of cool. Now, unfortunately, I don't know whether this is me being stupid or not, but I can't get the mouse function to work with the Xbox One, but I think it says right out you can only use it for text entry. But now the fact that I can sit on my couch and use this thing like a computer and actually browse the internet without having to take 2-3 minutes to type in a website address, and I can take 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So much easier. And the keyboard weighs like nothing. Like, literally, I have glasses of pop that are heavier than this thing. And it's so cool, and it's so tiny at the same time. So Logitech sent me one of these things. There's even an app that, like, you can get for the iOS or like, Android. You can program... different kind of gestures, tell it what you want it to do, stuff like that. I haven't played around with that enough yet, because I just got my, like, iPhone 5, so I'm just still trying to figure that out. Plus, this thing works for smart TVs, too, and smart TVs are becoming a lot more common than what I thought they were, actually, so. That would be the one piece of hardware I'd recommend if you have, like I said, on a, like, Xbox One or a PS3 or whatever, if you want to hook up a keyboard to it. Having this as a wireless option powered by two AA batteries, really kick-ass. I really, really appreciate it.
My best recommendation for back to school, a lot of people don't do this, and once you do, you will never want to go back. I had my girlfriend go. I got her, it's a second monitor. Doesn't matter what kind, just just get a second monitor for your laptop, your computer, your desktop, whatever. Whatever you're using, you can set it up as like either an office or just whatever room you have, even if it's a laptop. You just set up the second screen, put the laptop down, plug it in. Once you're dual monitoring, it makes life so much easier when you're going to school, because you can be doing schoolwork on the one, and then on the second monitor you can have a movie or something playing that will just keep you not distracted. You never want to watch a movie or a show that you've never seen. Always put something on, like an old movie, old series that you know in and out, and it just makes life so good, because it's like it distracts you from being bored, but it doesn't distract you from your work. I did it all the time through school, and my productivity was up by like 80%. And after you're done school, well, you'll never want to go back after this, because you can constantly have millions of windows open. Like, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 windows open right now, plus the Skype call with you.
Yeah, and if you don't want to buy an extra monitor, you can usually just wait for a Black Friday sale, buy a cheap TV, because odds are they've got a VGA or an HDMI input anyway.
Yeah, I'm actually using, these were a little bit expensive back when they came out, but the PlayStation 3 TV, the Sony TVs, very nice and crisp for their display. But yeah, you just plug it right in. It's just a TV. But you plug it in as the HDMI port, and it works the exact same as a monitor.
Yeah.
Got an extra one laying around, just use it.
Yeah, like, I had extra TVs because people screwed up, and I'm not afraid to take advantage of people. I use a 32-inch TV as my monitor in my studio, and I can't imagine doing anything but, and that's a cool thing. In college or whatever, almost everything has to pull double duty, so why the hell not? Having a second monitor, invaluable. Absolutely. I guess the final thing that I want to recommend here, actually, there are two things I want to recommend, and these are both kind of software things. This is more on the console side. I recommend the Marvel vs. Capcom games, but only if you're not serious about it.
Only if you're not serious about it?
Okay.
You gotta explain.
Okay. You know I'm a pretty serious competitive fighter.
Yeah.
You would not have fun playing with me.
That's true.
So, if you're gonna get a Marvel vs. Capcom game, that's why I'm saying don't get Street Fighter, because it's more technical. But it's a game you can learn. Marvel vs. Capcom, it is super technical if you want it to be. If it's just a button masher to you, having Captain America, Rocket Raccoon, and Doctor Strange fight Wesker, Hagar, and Felicia can be a lot of fun. And if you're not taking it seriously, it's a game you and your friends can have a lot of fun with. It's just, it's a simple button masher fighter. But if you want to evolve your skill set, it's going to take you a little while to learn how to basically be good at this. It's literally like the long road to victory here. But I think games like Marvel vs. Capcom are good for, like, kind of casual people that want to have the fighting game experience but want something maybe a little more grown up than, say, Smash. And most of these characters are recognizable from most Capcom franchises or most Marvel comic books. And I recommend this one over Injustice, simply because I think this one is more noob-friendly.
Saying Smash, and I just want it to be here now.
Yeah, I'm really hoping the game, if it's not gold by now, I hope it's gold soon, and they'll send us early copies, because I'd love to be playing that long before I'm flying to Vegas.
I wish I was on this reviewer list to get these copies. That's what everyone is saying, and they're saying it with me to you.
Oh, it's taken me years to get on Nintendo's good side. I'm very, very fortunate for that. Finally, the last thing I want to recommend, this one, if you want to have a LAN party or you're just playing this game over Steam, I find both these games can be really easy to fun, pick up and play, and pretty easy to walk away from too. Team Fortress 2 and Left 4 Dead 2. People are still playing these.
Really?
And they're still fun. Oh God, yeah. Like, there's an entire community dedicated to trading hats. So you can figure that out. I don't get it. Don't get it at all, but there it is. And yeah, I mean, it's still a fun game. I think these are pretty much the shooters to play on PCs, because I consider COD and Battlefield to be better on consoles. I'm probably wrong, but that's what I think. Anything else you want to add to this, Jamie? I pretty much think couch co-op games are the best thing to have.
There's a game, I think I've recommended it before, but it's called Don't Starve. It's on Steam. It's usually pretty cheap, and you can get it on sale for even cheaper. There's supposed to be a multiplayer being added to it by the end of summer, which I consider summer to be over, but I don't think the multiplayer is out yet. That's just how game developers roll.
One of the games I like, it's on Steam. I think you can get it a few other places. It's a game called Papers, Please. It's a single-player experience for sure, but it's where you play a Russian border guard, and you let people in, but you're also scanning their IDs, checking their stories, looking for bombs, protecting your border from terrorists or insurrectionists. It's a really interesting experience. Once again, pretty easy to pick up and play, too, so... Anyway, guys, that's pretty much our back-to-school special. Hopefully you guys will take into consideration some of these things, like, as you go back to school. So hopefully your semesters will get off to a good start. Hopefully by the time reading week comes around, you don't want to kill yourself.
Just remember that schooling comes first, but video games is what keeps your sanity.
Exactly. You know what? If you're having a bad day, you've got that assignment deadline looming, if it'll help you to play Titanfall for an hour, if it'll help you to play a few Pokemon battles, go ahead. Because Jamie's right. These things will keep your sanity. They really will. And honestly, mental health in college, it's a lot more important than people might think. You got to keep your head up. You got to keep smiling. And video games are one way to definitely make it happen.
It's a stress reliever, and everybody needs stress relievers during school time.
Absolutely, guys.
One thing I heavily suggest, because if you end up playing video games for too long, it'll actually add to the stress because then you lose those deadlines. Set an alarm. Everybody has alarms on your phone. So just be like, you know what? I have an hour before I definitely need to get back to work. Set an alarm for an hour away.
Exactly.
Then start playing your game. Because everybody loses themselves in video games.
Exactly.
It's what they're meant for.
I mean, that's why some of these games we've named as stuff you should play on the weekend or stuff you can play with friends between classes. But yeah, I mean, be mindful of your time. The most valuable skill you can learn after you get out of high school is time management. And don't get caught up, oh my God, my KDD is amazing, but my assignments do. Oh well, nah, schooling always comes first, but you gotta be happy too. So hopefully you guys will take some of our advice on this episode. Check out some of the pieces of hardware we've recommended, some of the software we've recommended. So email us feedback@thisweekingeek.net. What do you want to play during school, or what would you kind of recommend people check out that maybe we haven't mentioned? Maybe a game between your friends that's really fun. I know there's a lot of games on the iPhone that can be a lot of fun. In fact, I'm just looking for it right now. Oh, I don't have it anymore. Damn.
We might not be in school anymore either, but we definitely like to get recommendations of games to play all the time, because
that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Exactly. So next time on the prototype, I think we're going to talk about streaming, people. I think, because you look at all those people out there like Total Biscuit, PR Balrog, Twitch was just bought by Amazon for $1 billion. And me and Jamie are going to be doing streaming. Actually, we have been doing streaming.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've been streaming a lot. I didn't actually know you were streaming as much as I was. It was kind of something we just both started doing without talking to each other.
Yeah, I just do it just to hang out with fans or friends while I play Titanfall. 9 times out of 10, I'll shoot the shit and do Q&As with people. If you want to know about video games, I'll talk with you. So I do it. I think my Twitch channel is twitch.com/TheRealBirdmanDodd or the Birdman Dodd or something like that. Basically,
we'll put links in the description. Mine is twitch.tv/Dovaz, D-O-V-A-Z, because that's my gamer tag. I play a lot of Diablo 3, Final Fantasy 14, and I'm going to be bridging into some of my console games because I have the ability to stream everything. I don't know how to set up a face cam yet, so if anybody knows how to do that, please send me a message. I've been trying to figure that out.
I'm looking on my Facebook. I'm sure, Jamie, you write the episode post, so you'll find it. But anyway, guys, that's our show. So until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie J.J. Johnston saying, school's so fun. Boom, 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 boom